Major cities in the United States transformed into war zones over the weekend amid violent protests over the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Dozens of cities imposed curfews after demonstrators clashed with police, smashing and looting stores and setting property and vehicles alight. In a bid to quell the violence, Minnesota's governor activated the full mobilization of the state's National Guard, the first time this has happened since World War II. Derek Chauvin is the white officer who was filmed kneeling on George Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, and he's been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Paul Bloom is a news reporter with Fox 9 in Minneapolis. He joins us from the capital of Minnesota, St. Paul. Paul, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Well, thank you for having me. Good day to you.
Paul, where are you now? What's the scene like there?
So I'm in St. Paul, as you mentioned, the state capital of Minnesota, across the Mississippi River from Minneapolis, where, of course, this incident, deadly incident of George Floyd's death in police custody occurred last week. Here in St. Paul, in the shadows of the Capitol, we have a beautiful Capitol dome, are several, probably 1,000 people, I would say, a very diverse mix of people demanding justice, calling for change, calling for reform, calling for the arrest of all four of the officers and their charges. It's a peaceful protest, and there have been a lot of these peaceful protests and peaceful rallies, but what has happened is some of the late-night rioting, looting, burning, the arsons, those are what are making headlines. But there are these scenes, these beautiful scenes of, you know, we have real issues here, and there are people really care about those issues and want to be out here and be heard on that. And that's what's occurring before my eyes at this moment.
So peaceful by day and violent by night. I mean, the Capitol building where you are, I understand, is ringed by troops. The National Guard has been mobilized across the state of Minnesota. How many troops have been called out, and how many are there in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul now?
So my understanding is our full National Guard, I think it's up to either 13 or 15,000. Of course, some are deployed elsewhere. Right now we're at about 4,000 troops at last count, 4,100. I'm told in another day or so that number will approach 7,000 to 8,000. But yes, there's a huge security presence at the Capitol in general. There was some reporting yesterday that the Capitol was specifically, there were credible threats that the Capitol was under attack, but not under, that never materialized. But there has been a ring of security here to protect the building. It's not necessarily based on the crowd that has gathered there now, but it is, you know, quite a backdrop. You have both National Guard, State Patrol, law enforcement, all right geared up and in their protective stance. And then in the foreground, you have this huge crowd, you know, shouting down police and law enforcement in general, sharing stories of racial issues of on the streets and their dealings every day with the urban police forces in and around the Twin City metro area.
This is a major deployment. As I say, this is the first time the full National Guard has been deployed since the Second World War. They're there in riot gear. They're armed. What's that done to the city? Has the presence of the military and the curfew, has it deterred protesters? Do you think, I think tonight you're heading into the sixth night, later today your time. Do you think the streets will be quietened by this presence? Or is it making people angry?
Well, you know, the people who are angry to see any sort of state force, police force, entity out in the streets. But of course, Minneapolis has been under siege for days. And last night in our city, there was a hard 8 o'clock p.m. curfew. Mm-hmm. It was made clear by government authorities that as soon as 8 o'clock comes, if you're out in the street, you are considered part of the problem, part of the looting, part of the rioting, part of the vandalism. So it was made clear, get off the streets at 8 o'clock. By about 8:30, that is when the sort of mass military, paramilitary police mobilization occurred, and they just physically cleared the streets. And if people didn't move, the gas was shot, the less lethal munitions were shot, and they just cleared out the streets of Minneapolis. So we're actually coming off of a pretty successful night as it relates to property damage, fires, the looting, that type of thing. Of course, there are some people who are upset by some of the tactics used, but I think the government authorities felt, you know, pushed into a corner now that they just could not tolerate Minneapolis basically being burned down to the ground, which has happened in some neighborhoods.
And Paul, what you talked about the genuine peaceful protests that are there during the day. What's your impression of who is doing the rioting? Because the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, has blamed, quote, elements of domestic terrorism, ideological extremism, and international destabilization, that's his words, for the assault on Minneapolis. The US president is blaming the anarchist group Antifa, while black community leaders there say the looting has been led by white supremacists and anarchists. Has it become clear, is it clear to you, who's leading these protests? Are they being led by out-of-towners, or is this the locals?
It is just really impossible to know. I mean, you cited three or four different sources in there, all with their own ideas. I haven't been able to parse it. Some of the jail records that are starting to emerge do suggest that the 75-80% of the arrests are, local people with local addresses. But of course, it's not been an exact a mass amount of arrests. Have I personally seen young men going into buildings earlier a few days back, lighting these fires or trying to light these fires? Yes, I have no idea who they're associated with. But it really is, on the surface, it appears a chaotic scene. I was part of this, the covering the looting and the burning down the buildings early on in this process, and it was just pure chaos. It didn't seem organized in and of itself, but because of the mass destruction and looking at it from a distance, then you had to think, well, maybe there was some concerted effort there, that was part of the scheme. It's just, it's impossible to tell on the ground floor. And I think that was part of the problem in terms of the way Minneapolis and the state authorities reacted to this, because at first they gave the protesters some space to grieve, to be angry, even to the point of giving up a police station that was torched. And then it just seemed to, grow from there. And then finally the governor came in and laid down the law and said, I'm sending in the full National Guard, 8 o'clock, hard out. You guys aren't off the streets. We're going in. But to get back to your question, Fran, it's just impossible to tell. I mean, they'll write books about what is occurring here in Minneapolis someday, and someone will have to kind of nail down exactly what elements conspired to do the damage and wreak the havoc on our metro area the last few days.
Yeah, Paul, I'm sure you're right about that. Look, I know you're busy. I appreciate your time. Just one last question there. Derek Chauvin, the police officer charged with killing George Floyd, is set to front court on Monday. That's tomorrow your time, I think. Do you expect that to trigger more protests?
I mean, every element of this story will trigger anger and more frustration. He was charged with murder, third-degree murder on Friday. He's been in the Ramsey County Jail. That's over on the side where St. Paul is. I hadn't seen that they had set an official court date. At last check, they still hadn't nailed down an exact time for his appearance. He's in custody, so there will not be an opportunity for people to get a look at him as he makes his first court appearance. We don't allow cameras in the courtroom, and they'd have a secured area to bring him into the courtroom. But sure, every element of this story, because a couple things there. One, he is charged, but the three other officers, who many people feel were complicit in the murder or the death that occurred, they want them charged. We also heard, as soon as they charged third-degree murder, George Floyd's family immediately came out and say, we want him charged with first-degree murder. That was an intentional, concerted decision to take that man's life in that situation. So that also foments the frustration that these protesters and people who care about this issue don't feel the full weight of the law is coming down in this case, at least at this point. So, yeah, there's another opportunity where we'll have to keep an eye on things and how people react.
Paul, we really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran. Take care.
Paul Bloom is a news reporter with Fox 9 in Minneapolis. A little later in the program, we'll be speaking to a representative in Black Civil Rights Group, a former mayor of one of the states of the United States. And a little later on still, we'll talk about policing in the US and relations with Black America and the police. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 22 minutes past 6.